Welkom bij weer een nieuwe podcast van Rugby Insight. Mijn naam is Nick van Nieuwpoort en vandaag zit ik samen met Mike Panoho. Mike, welkom.
Hoi.
De podcast, ja, aangezien Mike Panoho die komt uit Nieuw-Zeeland. En aangezien Mike Engels spreekt, wordt de podcast vandaag ook in het Engels. So I just introduced and because you're from New Zealand, we'll do it in English.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. It's good to be here and good to meet you, Nick.
Thank you, good to meet you too. For the people that don't know you, you are now the head coach of Haarlem. Can you tell us a bit about your background?
Okay, so I was born in New Zealand, moved to Australia, and then from that moved back to New Zealand, and then decided to move to the Northern Hemisphere, to England. Been in England for probably 18 years now. You know, growing up in New Zealand, the luxury of, being on the beach, surfing, you know, the weather's great too. Moving to England, I moved to Bristol, which was a great place, great opportunity in the southwest there. It has a strong rugby culture, but it's close enough to the beach down the south coast, but also close enough to London itself. So no, it was a great opportunity for me to take up.
Where did you come from New Zealand? Where did you?
So I was born in a place called Whangarei, which is up north, north of Auckland. They call it the winterless north, but I'm not sure that's true now. It's been a while since I've been there, but you know, I tend to go home probably once every year, but obviously through this time it's been slightly different. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's great to get home. It's, you know, home's home. It's great to see family, friends, which, you know, it's been a long time. But, you know, I think this part of the world's my family now. And, you know, I quite enjoy living up here, so close to Europe, so close to, you know, being able to get out and get around and see new places.
How long are you in the Netherlands for now? When did you arrive?
I arrived in July, July 19th, I think it was, and it was great. Yeah, I had, you know, picked up from the airport, brought straight to the clubhouse, met a few of the older people, or the committee members and that, and, you know, had good discussions, and then they took me to my apartment, which was good, yeah, which is only no more than a minute away from here. So it's my mode of transport's a bicycle, which is great. It keeps me fit. But yeah, what a great facility. What a great clubhouse. New, it's only recently been built. We have an artificial pitch too, which is great to use too, especially during the weather. And I hear the weather does turn quite severe sometimes.
Yeah, we're quite a wet country sometimes.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that over the last couple of days. It's been pretty wet. But, you know, you have your dry spells too. So I was quite lucky or fortunate enough to be here in that July-August period where there were a couple of, great days. So, you know, you could get on the bike and ride 30 minutes or less and you're at the beach, which is really nice. And it's sand, so I can't complain.
Yeah, it's good to blow some blow off some wind, I believe, at the beach.
Yeah, definitely. The wind definitely comes off that water, off that coast, pretty strong. But it's probably more so the riding. Getting there was quite quick. Coming home was a little bit slow.
Yeah, true. If you look at the different cultures between, for example, New Zealand, where you come from, and Holland, how would you? Yeah, what's the difference for you?
Listen, I think people in both countries are pretty relaxed, pretty chilled, but also pretty open-minded people too. We have the Māori culture, so, you know, I'm part Māori, and we use that quite a bit, you know. I mean, you can see that in the way we, you know, entertain our sports, so like the All Blacks with the haka, and other sporting teams that use the same, so... You know, we definitely use that, and I know that, you know, there's a number of people in this country that use the Māori experience, because it's quite a strong culture, it has strong beliefs, And you know, I think, you know, not too dissimilar to the way the Dutch people are. Mm-hmm. They're pretty strong in the way they believe, you know, and in their beliefs too, and which is good too. So yeah, it's positive.
That's good. It's good to hear. Yeah, talking about you as a coach, when did you start coaching?
Wow. So I've been probably coaching probably 14 years, 15 years now, maybe a little bit longer actually. So when I started my coaching career, back then they had level one, level two, mm-hmm. And then level three, level four and level five too, but they've slightly changed them. So I started my coaching career in England. I attended a level one course, really enjoyed the makeup of the course, the enthusiasm by the educators, and you know that I suppose for me to continue on was through them because of their enthusiasm, and you know, one person that stood out was the course leader Neville Jeffries, who like we call him Yoda in the world of rugby. His knowledge, his experience, his demeanor, just the way he is amazing. You know, and that really supported myself and my learning. And we still, you know, we're still very, very good friends now. And through my whole coaching career, he was always the lead on every course that I attended. So then, you know, it wasn't too long. I was doing my level two. I then got asked to do a coach education course to become an educator. And from that, I suppose I just didn't stop. I enjoyed coaching in schools. You know, developing not just the students but the teachers, and that was part of, you know, part of the role that I took on. I moved into quite a you know, a well recognized school in Bristol. You know, had strong tradition, won various competitions. You know, and it was a good opportunity to sink my teeth into that coaching, and also then working alongside the Bristol DPP program, which is like a development player program, mm-hmm. For your 12, 13, 14 plus, which was really good too, because you got to see many of the young players coming through, you know, and give them opportunity to express themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for me, it was right, you know, right back when I started my coaching with the courses and meeting Neville and the various other educators on the course too. So yeah, no, it was positive. Again, for me, moving forward through not just that, but then going into coaching more in schools. So I spent 6 years in a private school, a prep mm-hmm. school coaching, and that was, you know, St. John's on the Hill, and that was really good school. A good opportunity, like the head teacher was very, very rugby orientated. He loved his rugby. He was Welsh, so he loved the Welsh team. So there was always a little bit of friction there. But
healthy competition,
yeah. Yes, definitely. And there were a number of us, actually, a number of Kiwis in the school, but also then obviously the English too. So there was healthy competition between all three. So yeah, and from that, you know, again, that was more around developing the, not just the player, but the person. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of it too. So yeah.
Would you say that, would you say he was also your coaching example?
Neville? Yeah. Neville. Yeah, definitely. I think the way he come across, the way he spoke, the level of knowledge and understanding, but also empowering players to make decisions and give them, you know, opportunity to be creative was very noticeable. And, you know, I'd always seen coaches or been coached by coaches that were very telltale. So they would tell you what to do, tell you where to run, tell you what to stand, where to stand. Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, I sit back now and I think to myself, you know, at school, that's what we get told to do.
True.
We get told to sit there. We get told to line up. We get told to eat. We get told to go out to play. But for me, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to really give back to, you know, creating better people, you know, and these children, you know, or giving them the opportunity to you know, just go in, get changed, and then come out and play and just have the equipment ready. It takes more than 5 minutes to get everything sorted, open the doors, you know, and you won't have the issues. You know, I was in one school. We had, I was in talking to the PE teacher, and we were looking out the window, and the kids were lining up again. And the kid at the back was kicking the kid in the front, and the teacher yelled out the window, "Stop doing it, and stand still, you know, be quiet." And I just said to them, like, "Why don't you just open the door and let them in? It would be so much easier." And you would probably find that they will make more decisions by giving them that opportunity to do that instead of standing still, kicking each other, yelling at them. And then you're wasting your energy. Your energy can be more focused on actually enjoying it and not being frustrated.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, I mean, young children, they have a lot of energy. And if you tell them to stand still, for example, or line up, that energy gets cropped up inside, maybe. Yeah. And if you let them more free, then energy can flow into creative ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, giving them the freedom, and there's still, you know, slight boundaries there. There has to be, you know, and I think... And especially in school and lessons and that, but you can also give them the opportunity to be a bit more free and take, you know, be accountable for their actions too. You know, and you'll probably find that the kid at the back's not going to kick the kid in the front, and actually you'll probably get more energy, effort out of them because you're not on their case. And sometimes, you know, players think that you're on their case, but actually, like now, you can give them that opportunity out on the pitch in small-sided games where they then can become creative. You know, and they build resilience through that. They build decision making through that too, don't they? So I think that's important.
So if you look at your coaching on the pitch, how would you describe your coaching style?
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, part of me is allowing the players to be free, being accountable for their actions, but then also giving them the guidance, the ability to, you know, when they can have an opportunity to have a go, then, you know, have a go and don't be afraid to do it. That's, you know, that's the key for me. You know, but then how do we learn from those? If we do, you know, what are mistakes? Are they mistakes or are they opportunities for learning? For me, they're more opportunities for learning. So, you know, it's a great cause. You know, when I get out there on the pitch, I think the energy, and I come off the pitch buzzing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm not, my energy is focused on enhancing what the players want and need, and also gives me the opportunity to really develop myself and how I communicate with them. So a lot of it comes down to, like, you know, that the way we communicate, the way we use our body language too. You know, if I turn up and I'm down, then the players will notice that, and the session doesn't run as smoothly. You know, whereas I can come in jumping and, you know, buzzing, bouncing off the walls, then that's a different feeling, you know, and the player starts to see that.
Yeah, and then you're really talking about I think it's 90% unconscious communication that we still do as people.
Yeah.
So that's quite important.
Definitely important, yeah.
Do you have like a strategy if you start coaching a new team, because you're now new here at Haarlem? Do you always look like, or what are the mindsets of the team members, and how can I maybe change them or develop them in the way that the team gets better?
Yeah, I think like moving into any environment, you have to, you know, have a strong culture, a strong belief. The environment has to be right, and I think that's important, you know. And I think from the onset when I took this role on, especially in the summer when I introduced myself to the players and we had like a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a great opportunity just to talk to them a little bit about what, you know, what I could bring, but also ask them what what they could bring too, because it needs to be both ways. It can't just be my way and that's it. And I'm, you know, I'm very much open to those discussions and being clear and making sure that, you know, there are solutions instead of problems. So having a strategy in place was more around what is it that's, you know, what is it that we need to change in terms of our environment and our culture first and foremost, and making sure that we're creating, you know, those players or people first before we, you know, before we start to dig into the realms of like what a player is and what type of player I'm looking for. You know, and I'm quite lucky here that the average age, I think, is probably 24, 25. And I mentioned that to you before. And I think that's, you know, that that's amazing because that, that, you know, they're on that fence line at the moment where I can sway them a little bit and support them in those decisions. And, you know, and they're not afraid to ask either, which is great. But they're not afraid to dig deep either. And, you know, and we talk about going to dark places and, you know, that, the team, we've, you know, we've had a rocky start, and I think, you know, part of it is that, you know, getting to know each other and being connected. And I think, you know, off the pitch, the boys were working hard, training hard, and training and being off the pitch is different to being on that pitch and connecting. And that's what we need to change, because the stuff that they do off the pitch is great, and they connect really well, and they're buzzing. It's now us getting on the pitch and making sure that we do the same thing. You know, what is it that we put in place for them? Well, we've given them patterns or ways and means of playing the game, you know, whether it's an attack or defense. And for us, you know, we have to have a clear plan. And I think that's the key, making sure, you know, the plan is in place, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch too. And I think, you know, the luxury that I have is, you know, having a great club that supports you with that. You know, the committee, the technical committee under Ira and Remco have been superb in terms of, you know, what it is, you know, they want from myself and from the team and for us as a club moving forward. And, you know, that, I think that was part of the decision for me to move in this direction and move here, because, you know, they had a good clear vision of what they wanted to achieve, and they've, you know, they've achieved success in the last 5 years. You know, and then being promoted this year, newly promoted into the air class, you know, which is a massive step for them. It's probably been, I know that they're talking about it, it's probably been about 20 years, I think.
Yeah, I think around that, yeah, that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time.
Yeah, no, it has been a long time. And I think, you know, a lot of the older generation talk about it, you know, and how lucky these players are to be in the, and, you know, be involved in the era class and being not just playing the game, but also, you know, having the luxuries of this facility and the benefits. So, yeah, it's, so, you know, I think part of it, like I said, is that setting that right culture, right environment, and then things will come off that.
Did you need to set a different culture and environment when you came here, or?
It's a listen, like anything, players, you know, if players are staying from previous coaches and that, then they have their mindsets and their ways. I think, you know, I'm a strong believer in hard work. Hard work pays off, you know, putting yourself through, you know, physical pain, but you know, it's a mental pain too, isn't it? It's understanding, you know, that changes have to happen, but, you know, it's up to the ownership of the player to make those changes. And you know, if we want to play at the top end of the game and be, you know, and be in that top four, top eight position, then we have to be good at what we do. You know, and the thing with the players here is that, yeah, it's an amateur environment. I say amateur, but it's a, you know, the club have stepped up the mark in terms of performance, and having myself come on board, having a number of coaches, having a full-time physio, having an SNC program, SNC coach, you know, you don't get far better than that in a lot of clubs. And you know, the support behind the team is there, so I think that's pretty important.
Cool. Yeah, how did you first came in contact with Haarlem to start training here? Because you came from England.
Yeah, so I come from England. Do you know what? 2 years ago, I come across to deliver some coaching clinics, and I actually come to this club, unrecognizable, because I didn't come to this location. It was across the other side, and it was in like a green hut. Almost like a spit and sawdust place. It was like an old rugby club, and I delivered a session there. So I sort of knew Haarlem for that brief time. And then back in January, a few things popped up, and Haarlem were looking for a head coach, and I'd spoken to Royd Hendricks, who I know through the Dutch rugby here, and he basically said, you know, listen, the club are looking for this type of person. Do you know anyone? And I sort of thought to myself, it'd be a good opportunity for me. So I won't tell anyone else. I'll keep it to myself and see what happens. And, you know, I had discussions with my partner, and, you know, I think it was that time an opportunity to move away from where I was working with England rugby and, you know, try my hand at full-time coaching, and let's say. And that's the opportunity, I suppose, that the club have given me. So I probably have luxury of delving into a couple of number of roles, whether it's with the first team or coach development, which is part of my passion too, around how we develop coaches. And you know, that, like I said, the club had that vision. They want to, you know, create an environment where players will keep coming, but, you know, we have great coaches, you know, coaches that will get out there and express themselves and allow the players to express themselves. I think that's pretty important. So, you know, for that opportunity, I couldn't turn it down. But I had to go through a pretty rigorous interview process. It wasn't just, there you go, there's the role. I think I had 3 interviews. I met some of the players too, and they grilled me with questions. Which was good. It was good. It was different, you know, and obviously it would have been quite good to get out here beforehand, potentially for the club too, to do some coaching. But, you know, through the process and obviously with everything that had gone on in the world, it was going to be hard. So, but I suppose that's probably why it went to 3 interviews and being grilled by the players.
But...
You know, they offered me the role, and it was again an opportunity to speak to work. So at England Rugby and take a sabbatical, but that's slightly changed now. So I'm here full time, and I'm hoping 3 to 5 years. I know 3 years at most, but you know, it'd be quite cool to stay for 5, because I think there's a good change, you know, over that 3 to 5 year period that could well happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you also have a plan for the 3 to 5 years, or is set out and discussed with the club?
Yeah, so the club had a clear vision and what they were looking for. So their initial vision for them was to gain entry into the Era class by 2020. Now they've done that. Mm-hmm. To have a facility like this by 2020, to have the grounds like this by 2020, I think that was important for them. And now the next step is the next 5 years. Is to be at the top end of Dutch rugby, to be producing some of the youth players that are coming through, produce them into the internationals, which I think, you know, for me was a real buzz. It gave me a bit of a chill, like that's a great opportunity with the number of youth that are coming through this club at the moment. There is so much potential, you know, and you can see it. They just love it. They love being down here, this club. The grounds, even during this time, although the clubhouse isn't open, but the grounds are open to the youth section. Mm. You know, it's always buzzing, which is really good. So, I think, you know, having the plan in place or their vision, then the plan comes from that. My personal plan for us as a senior team, senior squad, it, you know, is and will still always be in the top, to be in the top 8. You know, within 5 years is to be chasing that top 4 spot. Now, you know, we spoke about it before, to encourage the homegrown talent to stay here, that's the key for us, to produce, you know, good coaches to support their development or the players' development, which is a massive, massive step for us. So then it does become a little bit easier for me when they do come through the ranks too, but obviously then, you know, we can work with them in different ways. Mm-hmm. And to give players that opportunity to learn, to develop, to become better, you know, and give them that time. And I think that's the opportunity I have, where I can give them. So if, you know, if a player asks during the day that I'm available, then I can do that. Yeah. And become available for them. So that, you know, that's important. And then the clear plan is where do we want to go? over this period. So, you know, this year we spoke about it as a collective, as a group. You know, we want to be top eight. Well, we need to be better at certain things, especially on the pitch. You know, and that's this opportunity now where we have that break or that clause where we can really hone our own individual skills. You know, in smaller groups, more opportunities to touch the ball, you know, all that sort of stuff. And just be really technically focused. And then when we come back together, potentially, hopefully not too soon, or not too far away, sorry, mm-hmm. We can connect and make it easier, and we start to work. But, you know, the boys are working hard in that area at the moment. So, yeah, there is that plan, there is that vision. And, you know, every time I talk about it, I always have a bit of a smile and, you know, there's always a buzzing feeling because mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity, for myself too. You know, part of me, you know, you do have to think about yourself sometimes, and I think part of it is around how I develop as a coach in an environment like this, you know, where, you know, you could be speaking English, but the bloke next to you is going to be speaking Dutch. It's, you know, so how do I mix that up? How does training, you know, allow me to mix that up? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just express themselves. And, you know, a lot of players understand actions. So I quite, you know, if we do something, we'll do it in this way or that way. I'll show them, but it might not be the right way. It could be the wrong way. You know, it's all about learning, isn't it, for them? So
true.
But also allowing the players to just get out there. Mm-hmm. And have a go.
And how would you look at yourself? I mean, if you grow a team, you also need to grow yourself, because otherwise you outgrow your team, so to say. Yeah. How do you make sure that you're at the top level of coaching?
I think for me, I have the luxury of delving into a lot of experience across rugby, across sports, and you never stop learning. I think there's always a journey. I'm on a journey now, currently doing my master's in coaching or professional development, brackets coaching. So, you know, that for me is a great opportunity to enhance my own knowledge, learn from others on the course too. Learn from the lecturer, but, you know, ultimately you learn by watching, learn by, you know, talking, communicating, you know, even just picking up the phone to a good friend of mine, Rick Shuttleworth, who I really looked up to. He was my mentor through my level four process, you know, and is a really good mate of mine, who allow, you know, who will always have time to talk to you. Will always be keen to meet up with you and have a chat and talk through the processes. You know, what have I been up to? What am I doing? Where am I going? You know, this opportunity. When I spoke to him about this opportunity coming out here, he was like, "That's amazing. Get me across." You know, and that's what it's about. It's you know, it's being able to share. I mean, his knowledge and understanding around skill acquisition and that is amazing. You know, and that's where I was just like, every moment just living off them. You know, I was just hitting them up questions after questions, and you know, he'd come down and watch my sessions and give me tips and ideas, and I'd go away and, you know, try and master those. And the key is, like, as a coach, you've just got to keep evolving. You might take things, but what you don't want to be is a robot. You don't want to take something and then just go with that at someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your own. Do what feels right for you.
Pour your own sauce over it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Cool. If you look at yourself as a coach and have, for example, all the tools in the world, where do you want to coach? What would be your ultimate dream coach? A dream of coaching as a coach?
That's a hard one, because I'm here in Haarlem, and I think that's, you know, ultimately this club have the resource pack to move in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, lots of times we fantasize about being, you know, probably coaching the All Blacks. But for me, it's a stepping stone, isn't it? And, mm-hmm. you know, this is my opportunity with the resources we have here to really enhance this, this club and put them on the map in Dutch rugby. And I think that's important for me. I would probably say here, mate. I think it's a great place, I've definitely landed on my feet, I feel, you know, even in this difficult time. But yeah, I don't think I'd change that right now. And yeah, they've got the resources, they've got things that we, you know, we can put in place. So yeah, I think this is the place.
Nice. What is your opinion on Dutch rugby if you compare it to the experiences you've had?
Yeah, I think I've seen some good stuff. You know, we've only been, what, 3 games in. I've had good conversations with Zane, the national coach, you know, around what's out there. Play, you know, I've watched a number of videos of, you know, of teams, or you know, the way the Dutch play too, not too dissimilar to you know, a lot of teams that play out there. I think, you know, the skill set and the ability to play is a big thing. You know, and that's what, you know, that'd be something that I'd say to players, especially younger players coming through, is really work on those basics. Really work on your catch, pass, tackle. Like that, you know, they are your fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Your other stuff will come through doing those right. Sure. You know, I'm a big believer in that. So getting those right from, you know, it's practice. And putting yourself under those pressures, you know, whether it's time or having an opposition or something like that, you know. But I think they're your 3 key fundamentals.
Crawl, walk, run, so to say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, you know, and you know, we always talk about it, especially within the senior squad here, is making sure that we nail those, and that's that opportunity that we have now to be able to really enhance those areas. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the tackle, because we're not allowed that 1.5 meter
rule,
but
yeah, true,
we'll get away with tackle bags, maybe, as long as we wipe them down after. Mm-hmm. But yeah, on that serious note, I think. Dutch rugby's in good hands with Zane at the top. You know, he's got a good clear vision. He's, you know, good understanding. And I think, you know, making sure that the players, you know, especially in the environments they're in, if they're, you know, the amateur environments where that, you know, they have to put those extra bits in, those extra little bits of effort. You know, if you're only training twice a week, you've got to be training 4 times a week. You know, and then give yourself your time to rest. But that rest time is more around reflections. Then you start to look at the way you do things. You start to cut, you know, what you do and how you do things. And that's, you know, that's why teams, you know, especially in the Southern Hemisphere or England themselves, have become so much better. As because, you know, when they're doing things, they're doing things right.
But not only training physically, but also psychologically.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, lots of it is done off the pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, more so, because the fun stuff's on the pitch, the hard stuff's off the pitch. You know, how do you keep your mind going? How do you keep focused in certain areas that you do? But you've also got to have that downtime, that fun time, that chill time, you know, and I think that's important.
Definitely. How would you make sure that in amateur rugby here in amateur rugby, I mean, here in the Netherlands, if you compare it to international rugby, it is kind of amateur, but how would you make sure that people off the pitch also work on their psychological state?
The challenge, there is challenges in that, and I think, you know, here at Haarlem we've really worked on the groups in their 4s working together. So, you know, and we've called them different names. You know, so like road runners, we call the backs road runners, or we call the 9s and 10 generals. Because that, you know, they, so for us, we give them little names and little ideas, and when they work together, that's, you know, that's who they're known as. And I think that's important. They also challenge each other through the WhatsApp groups. You know, who's doing what? They're always taking selfies. I think it's this generation, isn't it? They just love the selfie. Yeah. So they're forever posting selfies on WhatsApp. You know, within their small groups, or that they have their own senior squad group where they're chatting away, and they challenge each other. And the key thing is to have a leadership group that can push that. So it's not just coming from us. It's actually being banged by their own peers. Mm. And I think that's important. I think, you know, for us here, it can't just come from me. It shouldn't be a top-down thing. It should be a bottom-up approach too. And so anything like that, I don't bang on about. It is actually done by the players. You know, the players have their own little group, and they'll get out there and say, listen, boys, we need to do this, this, and this. And then all I'll do is just tick that box, which makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make sense.
It needs to come from the team, mate. And, you know, a lot of it, it's the same, you know, the extra stuff, the extra training, the fun stuff, it does come from the team. And there are characters in the team too that love to do all that stuff. So, you know, let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about the stuff on, the plan, the way we want to play, the patterns and things like that. That's important to us, or supporting the coaches, you know, here, not just in the senior squad, but also in the club itself.
Mm-hmm. If you'd look at all the players that you have coached, is there a player that jumps to mind that's impressed you the most?
I think, there's probably many, but, you know, the younger ones that have come through, so there's a couple like Andy Urin and Randall that play at Bristol, young players that played in a county 20s team that I coached many years ago. You know, those types of players are, you know, have come through and worked hard and had to work hard, you know, and are doing really well now at Bristol with the Bears. So, you know, I think that's, you know, that was great. You know, they stepped up. Not always, you know, the strongest through their age groups, but they didn't step back. So, you know, there's one at the moment. She's a young female player. So when I was doing community coaching for England Rugby in the schools, we run these school programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an email from the head teacher of this one school. And basically she said, listen, I'm going to kick this girl out of school. She's been a nightmare. And I was pretty harsh. She was only 14 then. And, you know, from that day, I basically took her under my wing and said, listen, every time I'm in the school, you're going to come and do stuff with me, and we'll support you through your coaching badges when you get to 16 and so on. And we ended up doing that. And we're still good friends now. And she's played for England 20s. And you know, for her to play England 20s 2 years ago, she was like, I've had enough of rugby, I've had enough of school. She was going to get kicked out of school. Well, she finished school.
Mm-hmm.
The head teacher thanked me for it, and then she went on to play for England 20s, and now she's playing for Bristol Bears, you know, and doing really well. And I think, you know, she's going to be one to watch. Keeps her head down, you know, and motivates herself to get out there and do those extras. Then, you know, she'll be one to watch in the future. So yeah,
nice.
There's always loads out there. It's just
definitely. It's hard to make a choice in that case. What will be on your agenda for the next couple of months, or maybe half a year?
Yeah, I think, you know, just trying to keep the boys here together as much as possible. You know, the trainings that we're doing at the moment, you know, you're mixing up a bit of fun stuff where they're working really hard in their small groups of four, to being back at the club and just being on the pitch. You know, the boys, like any rugby player, just wants to be out there running around. So, you know, we're allowed back Tuesday to train, and, you know, the numbers were really good. You know, but we also said to the boys, listen, you know, through this difficult time, if you need to have that bit of time away, then that's your opportunity. But make sure you continue to check in, you continue to do your programs. So the SNC coaches put stuff online for them to download, you know, and I think we had 60 hits on that, 60 downloads, which is great. You know, good numbers downloading the SNC program, which is what we want, you know. And potentially that may change again, you know, depending on what happens over the next week. And then what do we offer, you know, for the players to keep interested? You know, so we're looking at games. We're getting guys to analyze games that are on TV. So we know we've got good games coming up this weekend and over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, the boys, instead of out there playing, they're gonna you know, analyze the games and then feed in as a group on Zoom calls. So, you know, different ways to just keep them engaged and keep them active until we can get back out on the pitch.
Sounds great. I want to thank you for this conversation. I enjoyed it very much. I appreciate your time, and I hope we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much, Nick. All right, that was good. You. Cheers.